Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Morning, everybody listening online. Once we finally get this published. I want to talk this morning that God knows your needs. Now, those of you that have a bulletin, on the front of your bulletin, we have a shopping list. Deb says, what do you want? A shopping list. I said, a shopping list. Why is that? We all have this list of things in our mind that we need. Shopping list is just a very simple thing. Apples, bananas, bread, eggs, you know. But we have things in our mind. We have things in our plans that we need. I need a nice house. I need my spouse to listen to me. I need, you know, a nice car. Me, I need a big truck to haul my camper. I have a big truck to haul my camper, sorry. But we all have things that in our mind we need, but most of the things, when we sit down and write out a list of things that we need, are things that will pass away. You ever think about that? How about if we have a list of things that we need, that we really need? I need to draw closer to God. I need to be a more loving person. I need to be kind. I need to be grateful for the things that I have, not disappointed because of things that I don't. I need to encourage others. Do we write down the things when we do a list? Maybe in your journaling, maybe just sitting down in a quiet time sometime. Just take a list, write down a list of things that we need. The Bible tells us that the things that are here are temporary. We know that we've talked about this, you can't take it with you. When it's all said and done, there's no hearse hauling a U-Haul to take everything with you. But we get our minds so focused on things in the natural. And it's a normal thing. It is a natural thing to be involved in our day-to-day life. It's a normal human being thing to be concerned about the next 5 minutes, or the next day, or the next 15 years, or a set period of time, rather than putting our focus on things of heaven. You know, we've been doing on Wednesday night in our Bible study, we are covering the Sermon on the Mount out of Matthew. But we're going to read a passage here where it's discussed in Luke. So in Luke 12, beginning with verse 22, it says, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. And how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Stop right there. A cubit is like 15, 18 inches, right? Which of you by worrying can be 18 inches taller? And Jesus says, if you're not able to do that which is least, why do you worry about that which is, why are you anxious for the rest? To all of a sudden be 18 inches taller is considered, Jesus said, the least. Wait a minute. How does that even compute? Jesus says, you're not worried about things that you have no control over. Worry about things that you do have control over. So what do you have control over? Rather than worrying about your height, I mentioned I need to learn to be nicer. I need to learn to draw closer to God. Those are things that I can do. Those are things I can set my mind to. I can set my mind on things that are eternal to draw closer to the Lord. I can set my mind on things that are eternal to develop a habit and an attitude of peace and graciousness to the people I encounter. Not to allow circumstances to change the way I treat people. That's something I can take care of. That's something I have the ability to impact. What? My height? Nope, I'm a short little dude. But it's okay. Because I am taller than most of the display racks in the store. However, when I'm in the store, I can't find my wife because she's shorter than most of the display racks in the store. So I'll walk around and say, I'm looking for the troublemaking little brunette I'm married to. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious about the rest? Continuing on, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And as we've covered this in Matthew and asked different questions about it, we come to realize that part of trusting God for our circumstances does not mean we won't ever be in other than ideal circumstances. Sometimes, as we trust God going through life, God says that He will provide for us. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. That's clothing, food, shelter. All of these things will be added unto you. If anybody has ever taken a philosophy class, or I learned about it going through leadership classes in the military, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, things that you need, and if your highest need is not met, it really doesn't matter about the others. You know? So companionship is one of them. But if you're starving, that's a much more important need. So we had a hierarchy of needs. Things we decide that we need that kind of take precedence over everything else. So when we look at this scripture and it looks and it says, don't worry about these things because your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Don't worry about what you will eat, what you will wear. Know that your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things and your Father will take care of you. That does not mean we will never have, never be poor by the world standards. It doesn't mean that we will never go through times of privation or hardship. Because if you say that's what it means, then how do we explain all of these other things that are going on? How do we explain people who really don't have anything to eat? Or we don't see that they have anything to eat. People starving. People go through things. Absolutely. Even people that follow the Lord, people that seek Jesus, go through things. But as we focus on God, God will take care of us. It may not look like what you think it will look like. And I don't claim to be prophetic, but I happen to know that right now, in South Florida, there is a whole bunch of free food for the taking. It's called iguanas and python. Wait a minute, what are you talking about? You can't eat that stuff. Absolutely you can. I see that look. How about in the Mississippi River and Great Lakes and a lot of places there where they have the invasion of the Chinese carp, so much that you can't ride up the river without these 15, 20-pound fish jumping in the boats. Have you ever seen videos of that? That's an awful lot of food. There's a provision there that people aren't necessarily seeing. How do we have people hungry when there's that kind of food around? You know, you can eat Japanese knotweed. That nasty. You can eat it. You eat it. You can eat it in the spring when it first starts sprouting. This time of year, it's not very good. This invasive species that we have. All of these things that are going on around us. You know, you can eat clams. Well, we got a whole bunch of zebra mussels out there. They're kind of small. What do we recognize as God's provision, or do we sit there and look at our circumstances and because it doesn't fit a box, we think God's not taking care of us? When things don't happen the way we think they ought to, we say, well, God's not taking care of us. God is taking care of us. He is continuing to watch over us. The thing that gets, one of the things that gets me, and I've shared this before, the Bible says, you know, God says, before you will call, I will answer. Before you call, I will answer. Think about some of the blessings of God in your life, especially some of the blessings that you prayed for and God answered, and then take a look and see what was behind that. The story that I shared, Deb and I were coming back from, I think we were coming back from Missouri, so this would have been about 3 years ago, two, 3 years ago. We were coming back and it was in November, and we were asking the Lord, you know, asking for traveling mercies and trying to find out what was going on. We know around the Great Lakes, sometimes there's storms, especially in November, sometimes there's storms. But we could not get any information about what the weather was. We go online, we couldn't find anything. We're listening to the radio, we can't find anything as we're driving across. And we stop, we get off to hit the bathroom, didn't even need gas, but stopped to hit the bathroom in Ohio. And this section off the interstate, four corners, three corners have gas stations. As we get off the highway heading east and we're turning, the vehicle that came past right in front of us had Vermont plates. It's the first time we've seen Vermont plates in 12 days. So the people pull into the gas pump and we pull up next to them and honk and wave, point to our plates and park. So we talk to them for just a few minutes. And they're from Hinesburg. So here we are in the middle of Ohio. We meet a couple from Hinesburg. And they say, don't go by Erie because there's a nasty storm up there. So we took a detour and went around. Now, what did it take for God to put those people right there in time to answer a prayer that we had not been able to get an answer to? And then come to find out they're on their way to Cincinnati to visit their son who moved there 4 years ago. So if the son hadn't been there moved there four years ago, they wouldn't have been coming past that day. But the son was in his 30s, so if he hadn't been born, then he wouldn't have been able to move. How far back has God gone to answer our prayers? Do we ever think about that? God says, I see the end from the beginning. He says, I have a plan for your life. When God says that He will supply our needs, recognize that He knows exactly who we are and exactly what we've got going on. And He's known about it and been putting things in place. When you read the genealogies, especially the genealogies of Jesus, whether in Matthew or in Luke, and you start going through there and you start looking at the people that are in Jesus's genealogy. Judah is in his genealogy because of Tamar. Remember Tamar? Tamar was married to Judah's oldest son. And he did not please God, and God struck him dead. So then the next son, because of that was their custom, if one brother dies without having produced offspring, the next brother would marry her to produce offspring in the name of the brother. And then they could have their own children. But that one had to be the heir of the other one. Well, he didn't want to do that. So God struck him dead. So Judah says, my youngest son is a little too young for this. So go back to your father's house, and when time comes, I'll call you. So she goes back to her father's house, and the younger son grows up, and Judah had forgotten all about it. So she pretended to be a prostitute to trick Judah. Judah went into her. They had children, twins, actually. And when somebody told Judah, hey, your daughter-in-law is pregnant, he's like, well, she's an adulteress. We got to put her to death. Oh, no. Wait a minute. He had his ring and a staff, I think it was, but two things that were obviously his. It's like, this is whose child this is. And he said, you're more righteous than I am. So you have the woman who's played a prostitute. You have Manasseh, who was the worst king in history, according to the Bible. The most wicked king was Manasseh. So you have these people in Jesus' genealogy, but you know that in the fullness of time, Christ came. God knew and planned all of these things. Do you have a less than perfect life? Praise God, you're in good company. We all do. Yet God is still at work. Psalm 70, beginning with verse 4, says, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. The psalmist says, but I am poor and needy. Make haste, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. How often do we cry out to the Lord like this? Father, you said you'd meet my need. You said I'd not be forsaken. You said that it's your good pleasure to give me the kingdom, that you would continue to watch over us, that you would give us the desires of our heart. Lord, why haven't you answered yet? Do we say this? I think we do. Each and every one of us, maybe not all the time, but there are times in our life where God had said he would take care of it. How long? And we even talked about that last week. How long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood? How long, O Lord, until you answer? How long? The psalmist says, Lord, you're my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. You know, God is never late. But his timing is not my timing. Praise God, I'm not in control, because things would not go well, because I don't have all the answers and I don't know what. If we can trust and put our faith in the fact that God has been at work in us long before we were born. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He formed us in our mother's womb. And that each and every person is precious in his sight. If we get a revelation and an understanding of that, it will change the way we interact with people. Because we will begin to show more of the grace and love and mercy of God to people around us. You have people that get on your nerves? I do. You say Sue prayers? I do. Sue prayers are when you're driving down the road and that person's doing several miles below the speed limit. Which several miles below the speed limit really doesn't bother me that much. Until it's several miles below the speed limit, until there gets to be a part where I can pass them, and then they want to speed up just so I can't pass them, so they continue to be several miles below the speed. But it might be the only time this person ever crosses our path. Do we try to set our mind, do we make a decision to lift people up, to be a blessing, and to encourage people, and to pray for people, the people that may never cross our path again? Are we doing these things? I got to confess, I don't always. Sometimes they are just on my nerves. And sometimes I know I should be praying for them. I know it, but I don't want to. Each and every one of us, God still has a plan for our lives. He knows the things we need. And it's like, you know, when actually quite a while back. I think it was when we got back from our trip. Did a message about opportunities and did that quote from Bruce Almighty, where Morgan Freeman, who plays God in the movie, is talking with Bruce's wife in the restaurant, talking about the Noah and the Ark and how it's a love story. But he also talks about how it's an that life is an opportunity. He says, when you pray for a loving family, does it mean God poof makes everything loving, or does he give you opportunities to love each other? When you pray for patience, does God instantly make you patient, or does he give you opportunities to show patience? So if we know we're supposed to be praying Sioux prayers for these people and we don't, you think God will give us another opportunity? Pretty sure he will, because God knows what we need. And what we need may not be what we want. It may not be what's on our shopping list. What we need, God knows. And God said he would supply our need. In Philippians 4, Paul, writing to the Philippian church, says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's amazing how you hear people quote that scripture and just the last one, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And they don't talk about what's leading up to it. Where Paul says, I know wherever I am, whatever situation I am, whether I'm hungry, whether I'm cold, whether I'm in need, whether I'm suffering lack, wherever I am and whatever my situations are, I know that Christ is enough. And because of him working in my life, I can endure whatever comes up. I can endure whatever happens. No, they just lying there grabbing a thing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay. But that doesn't mean you get to put out your shopping list of saying, okay, God, I need my Super Bowl team to win. I need my boss to give me a raise. It's not a name it and claim it thing. You've heard that term? You heard that ministry philosophy? If you can believe you can have all things, all you have to do is claim it. Doesn't necessarily work, because it's taking things out of context. If you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And all these things, in this case, is food, food, clothing, and shelter. Oh, wait a minute. How about the big bank account and the big car and the big house? Well, it may be that way, but it may not be that way. The question is, are we satisfied and are we able to, or do we know how to abound and how to suffer need? Do we know how to endure each and every situation? Sometimes it's much harder to deal with having a lot than having a little. Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. Of course, then there's all the question, what are you talking about? The little gate where the camel has to get on its knees and crawl through, or the needle and this big piece of line that's called a camel, which is actually a small rope, pass that through the eye of a needle, or the eye of the needle being the gate. Either way, it's saying, he's never said that it's impossible. What he said is, for those who have riches, for those who have wealth, there's the problem of focusing on that and trusting in that rather than trusting in God. Yet everything we have, even if it's wealth, even if it's not, everything we have is a gift from God. The Bible says, what do you have that you have not been given? Everything we have is a gift from God. The very breath that we breathe is a gift from God. This day, Everything we have is a gift from God. Are we thankful in all things that God has provided for us? Are we thankful in every? Are we thankful all the time, recognizing that whatever we have has been a gift from God? And even the difficult times, God has already said He will cause to work together for good in our lives. To them who love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Do we learn to trust God no matter what our circumstances are? Recognizing that God knows our needs. He knows the things we have need of. And has still promised to take care of us. Carrying on, verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid to me once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. See, that's another one people take out of context. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. But in the context, it's as we share with others. It's in the context of as we bless others, God blesses us. We talked Wednesday night at the Bible study that the Bible says, He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord Himself will repay. God will not be beholden to any man, I've heard it said. You can't outgive God, I've heard it said. But sometimes we say, okay, if I do this, and I've heard ministers do this, especially television or radio evangelists, if you will send this much money, God is going to send you this much money. It's not the way it works. Do we do things just because we think it obligates God to meet some checkbox? Or do we trust Him? Do we trust that God knows our need? He has our best interest at heart. He is at work in us. Do we trust that? Or do we sit there and try to figure out how we can get the best deal? Isaiah 46, last passage of Scripture, starting with verse 9. Says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand, and I will do my pleasure. Do we recognize that God knows what's going to happen later today and has known it? Has known it all the way back, before time began. That in the mind of God, He sees everything. He knows everything. And He says His counsel will stand. The words of God, the words of God are yea and amen. God says that it will come to pass. When we look at our circumstances and we get wrapped up in the moment by moment, in the immediate, in the now, and we get so wrapped up in what's going on right now. What do I need right now? Well, I have my shopping list. I need this, 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 and this. Rather than looking at eternity. Looking at things that matter. Looking at healing relationships. Looking at encouraging people. Looking at sharing the gospel. We get so focused on the temporary things that are going to pass away, and we take our mind off the things that are going to actually have lasting value. God knows your needs. He knows the things you have need of, and it might not be the things on your shopping list. It might not be the things on the list of things you want or the things that you expect out of this life. But God already knows the things that we need. And God has already said that He will work in us. God has already said that He will refine us as silver and gold is refined. God already said that He will purify us. God has already said that He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. That kind of means He has to bring out the iron and the spot remover in many of our lives to make us a church without spot or wrinkle. Which means the things we need might not be pleasant. The things we need might not be enjoyable in a temporary basis, but will have everlasting value. Verse 11. Calling the bird of prey from the east, and the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. As God has declared the things He's going to do, it might be in a way that we don't expect. It might be, God might use people we would not think God should use. I always get a kick out of the fact that a donkey rebuked a prophet. God spoke through a donkey. And God used a pagan king to encourage a prophet. Because as Daniel was going into a lion's den, the king said, "Your God is able and will protect you." A pagan king encouraged a prophet of God, letting him know that your God is God and He's going to take care of this. God may use people we don't think He should, but it's not up to Him. I don't know about you. I look in the mirror. I see God already using somebody that I didn't think He should. God can use each and every one of us. And not just each and every one of us, but God can use each and every person. You may have a person on the street speak into your life. And it might be absolutely the Word of God coming through and you can hear it clear as day. I was in a church once. Mainline denomination. And God spoke so clearly through the message. And I was sharing that with a couple of other believers. And I was talking about it. And I said, "Wow, you mean God can even talk in that kind of church?" I'm like, "Wait a minute. God can use anybody. God can supply all our need according to His riches and glory. God will work in our lives to give us the things that we need, even when they're not the things that we want, even when it's not a source that we think that He ought to use." Had a minister friend of mine very recently talking about something that was going on in one of the denominations and how it's time for Christians to leave that denomination. I'm like, God can use anybody in any situation. And rather than try to tear it down, it looks bad. I get that. It is definitely not according to my understanding of Scripture. But rather than try to sit there and tear them down in front of the eyes of the world, we should be praying that God be glorified and God be magnified in that circumstance and God reveal His perfect will in the midst of it. Because to the people driving by, the people that never darken a church, all they see is a church. They don't know of the difference between us except that there's differences. They don't understand why there's differences or what the differences are. But how can we be a witness to a lost and dying world when we are focused on tearing down other believers or other people that claim to be believers, whether we think they are or we think they're teaching a good doctrine or not? Let's instead pray that God work out the differences, that we can be a light in this generation, that we can bring peace and we can bring understanding and we can bring hope and help to a people that otherwise won't even listen to us. If all they see is divisions in the church, why are they going to be jealous and want what we have? Let's love one another. Let's be a blessing one to another. Let's encourage one another. Let's focus on those things that matter. Let's put those on our list of need. As we write down our list, not the temporal things, not the temporary things, not the things that don't matter, but unity in the Spirit, healing in the body of Christ, strengthening one another, encouraging one another, that God be glorified in us and around us and through us, that we reach this generation that's falling into hell. Praise the Lord. Father, You know what things we have need of before we ask. And You know what things we have need of when we don't even know enough to ask. So, Father, we come before You thanking You that You do see the end from the beginning. that you have declared your word, you have declared your righteousness, and you have called us by your Spirit to make a difference in the place where we are. To be lights in the midst of darkness, to be healing, to be your hand and feet extended, to be an examples of your love, and even, Lord, to be examples of your grace. Oh, Father, we thank you for the work that you have done in us and continue to do. We thank you, Father, that you are at work in every situation, even when we don't see it. And Lord, you have already said that you will cause all things to work together for good to those who love you, to those who are the called according to your purpose. Oh, Father, we give you praise. Lord, in those times so often, Father, where we fall short, those times so often, Father, when we get our focus off of you and onto temporal things and things of no everlasting value. Those things, Father, those times where we're seeking our own pleasure or our own will rather than yours. Lord, forgive us. And guide us and teach us. We thank you, Lord, that you will refine us, that you will draw us closer by your Spirit, and that sometimes means we gotta turn up the heat, turn up the pressure, so the dross, the ugliness, the impurities can come up to be scraped off until we reflect your glory, till we reflect your praise, till we reflect your love to the people around us. We give you glory and praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.